33 minutes past 12 o'clock at Squawk 1200. Farid Guillot, Paul Prydecker, 79 degrees. The sun's out. Maybe some rain will return after most of the people have gone home, but just keep an eye on the sky because it's been kind of a wet period. But weekend's looking a lot better, drier, cooler.
It is, and actually, this is my last day, today. Aww. Because I'm going to on assignment for some other things starting over the weekend. But it's been good working with you. We'll do this again next year.
It's been exceedingly good.
Yeah, that's great.
Joining us in the studio is Kurt Seringa, who is Deputy Project Manager of Air Traffic Management at NASA. And we're going to be talking about how the future of air traffic is going to happen when there's more and more small planes in the air.
Kurt, I was doing a little bit of reading on the website for this, and like so many things in aviation, there's a acronym or a three-letter abbreviation, ATMX. What does that stand for?
Yeah, first I'll say thank you for having me. So
sure.
ATMX stands for Air Traffic Management Exploration, and that is really the project at NASA that's looking at how we do air traffic management in the future as these advanced air mobility operations are integrated into the airspace.
So you're certainly looking at the new entrants. So I'm thinking eVTOL, I'm thinking UAS, I'm thinking advanced air mobility and all the other possibilities that could happen. But is this also an initiative that can help current aircraft, in other words, the airlines and commercial operations?
Yeah, it is. So we actually have separate work focused on commercial operations, and a lot of that is focused on improving the sustainability of those operations.
What does that mean?
It really means improving efficiency, making it use less fuel, more efficient routing.
So free flight, direct routing, that sort of thing?
Well, particularly more efficient routing when there's disruptions such as weather moving across the United States.
Because if you think about the Northeast, there's a lot of people who love to go direct, but it just never happens. They always give you certain pre-planned routes, as it were, yes. that help air traffic control the most. And, it's kind of one of those things. So kind of interesting in how do we solve the direct routing issue?
How do we solve the direct routing issue for commercial aviation?
Commercial and I'm
even in general aviation.
General aviation, because sometimes you say that route is just not available. You're going to have to do the circuitous route.
Yeah, I'll talk briefly about how we do it for commercial aviation, and then try to bring things back to advanced air mobility. So what we're really looking at is making it easier for pilots or airline dispatch to request new routes, making that process and that negotiation process electronic. And if we can do that, then it makes the system a whole lot more flexible.
So I read a statistic not too long ago that there are, I think, 8 times more certified or registered drones than there are powered aircraft or manned aircraft, and it's increasing. So what are the challenges when you start talking about, we have the contiguous U.S., we have some defined airspace, and we have more and more entrants. What are your challenges?
Yeah, so there's a couple of key challenges. So probably the most notable one is that when you look at air traffic controllers, we know that they are going to be unable to control all this new drone traffic the way that they control airline traffic. So we know that we need to do something different. And NASA's been working on a concept called UTM, and that essentially uses a couple of different mechanisms to help make sure that these operations can safely coexist with each other and with other operations in the airspace.
It's UTM, one of those three-letter acronyms that stands for Unmanned Traffic Management?
That's correct.
Okay, that was a guess.
You're learning, yes. Join the team.
And essentially the basis of it is that if you have these small uncrewed aircraft operators who are sharing information such as the trajectory of these vehicles and other information about them, then you can use some automated tools to deconflict them. And then when we look at deconfliction from current operations, there's a couple of different information sources that we have available to us, right? So you can take in ADS-B information, but then we're also looking at using various sensors to see which aircraft are in the airspace so that they can take appropriate actions to avoid any general aviation aircraft or other operations.
Do you suspect that reduced separation minimum might be part of the solution?
In general, probably not. If you're talking about between all operations,
yes.
Just between two small U.S. operations, that's probably something that's being looked at.
Yeah. Okay. So you've identified what some of the aircraft are. We've already kind of talked about that, but But now, what are the technological solutions? What are some of those, or what or could be?
Yeah, so I'll talk into some like high level themes. And so the first is information sharing. If you have information on what other vehicles around intend to do, then you can take that and use various algorithms to make sure that you have deconfliction between these operations. So those algorithms are kind of the second piece.
So I know you're not doing this just because you need a project. You're doing this because you need to integrate with the regulatory agencies. So what's the connection between NASA and the FAA to get support for this project?
Yeah, I'll get to that. But I think the real reason we're doing this is because we see a lot of public benefit coming from it. So when we look at advanced air mobility, we look at improvements to the mobility of people, right? Allowing them to transport themselves, much more effectively, across urban areas, saving them from, sitting in traffic for, a long time. We look at other use cases, right? So when you look at small US for package delivery, I'm sure, have you ever, had a barbecue or been working on a home improvement project and you, forgot an item from the store?
Yeah, once or twice.
Yeah. for me, it's every time almost.
Yeah.
But one of the things we're looking at is instead of having to, pack the kids into the car, go to the store, find your product, drive back, could you have a small US deliver that within, 10 or 15 minutes, saving your barbecue, allowing you to complete your project on time?
What I think about, I'm of an age where, if I wanted something from a catalog, I filled out an order form, I put a stamp on it, I mailed it, I waited for 2 weeks to hope I would get it. And that has all, of course, progressed to, you have the delivery services doing 2 day, 1 day, same day, and now we're talking about this minute almost. It's really has changed how we think about this.
And when we talk about advanced air mobility, we also talk about other types of use cases. So you can use that transportation mode, right? The ability to transport, packages quickly to do things such as medicine transportation. We're also looking at applying some of these technologies to firefighting to better coordinate those operations. So there's a variety of use cases outside of just improving mobility that these new operations can be used for that will benefit the public in the United States as a whole.
What has been driving your research? Is it, and this is not to cast blame or anything like that, but this is it catch up, or is it like, hey, we're kind of seeing this and now's the time to get ahead of it?
Yeah, so from an air traffic management standpoint, it's really making sure that as industry and as other groups have these new innovative ideas, that airspace management, air traffic management, is not, an impediment to bringing them into the airspace. We want, all of these new ideas to have a chance to move forward. And the reasons for that are, some of the publicly beneficial operations I talked about before, but also just making sure that in the United States we have an industry that's leading the charge in aviation.
Is this a project that you sought out, or you were say, hey Bill, this is your project now? How did you arrive in this particular project?
Yeah, so my story is actually a little bit interesting. So I'll start from when I was a kid, because that's where I need to start.
Yeah,
you were born at a very early age.
Yeah,
wanting to do air traffic management.
Not quite exactly. But when I was a kid, I really wanted to be a pilot. I came to events like this event here, Air Venture, and it really inspired me. As I got a little bit older, got into high school, I kind of started to have a lot of interest in the technology side of things and decided to go for aerospace engineering. So I did that for undergrad, got into a master's program, and at that time my advisor said, I have a position for you over at NASA. So I went there and ended up getting hired, and the place I got hired into was the project at that time that was doing air traffic management related research. And since then, it's really stuck. There's a lot of really interesting problems involved in it, a lot of interesting research.
Is this initiative only for United States, or are there applications for the rest of the world?
Yeah, there's definitely it's a global market.
Yeah.
And we do a lot of, we have a lot of conversations and collaborations with international organizations to try to make it so that as we build out this market, right, it's... you have some of that commonality built in so that you can, so a manufacturer can develop, an aircraft, and service providers can develop systems that can be applicable, on the international scale.
So ADS-B has been worked on for a long, long time. It's just one of those legendary projects within the FAA. The technology that you're working on today, was that possible, say, 5 years, 10 years? What was the what was kind of the tripping point that is now it makes this more reachable?
I think it's really just the advancements in, you know, communications that we have, right? We now all have cell phones with access to the internet in our pocket. It's the enhancement to, like, automation. And really, you know, you look at a lot of these new aircraft, they're built on, you know, electric, you know, drivetrains, right? Electric propulsion. And so, you know, we've also seen a lot of advancements, you know, in battery technology and electric propulsion, you know, kind of driven by the automotive industry.
Quickly, where can people come and talk to you more about this?
Well, they can come to my office, I suppose. So we have some materials.
For this weekend only.
This weekend, yes. Yeah. You should stop by our NASA booth.
Yeah.
We have a lot of really fantastic you know, information there and people that are willing to talk about all sorts of activities that NASA's working on. We also brought a simulator from our lab, which has been, you know, a huge hit with the kids. Mm-hmm. You get to actually see and, you know, fly a piece of hardware that we use within our simulation ecosystem, which is actually another interesting thing to talk about. So right now, we brought one of our simulators, but we have about 20 of those within our lab at NASA, along with the various pieces of automation and aviation services that we're examining for these future advanced air mobility operations. And then in addition to that, we're linking that lab with the tech center at the FAA, which allows us to bring in their air traffic control labs and actual air traffic controllers to look at this ecosystem, right, and see how well it works before we actually bring this to, you know, reality.
To see the world of research and the practical world coming together, go to the NASA Pavilion. Kurt Swearinger, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to EAA Radio.